Well, happy Easter, First Baptist Church Naples family. It's great to be with you to study God's Word together. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8 here in just a second. So turn in your Bible to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8, and we'll be looking at that passage here in just a second. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure just like us, you're having to figure out ways not to go stir crazy during this shelter-in-place, quarantine, social distancing kind of thing that we're doing right now because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we're trying to do all kinds of things, right? We're going on walks, and we're having movie nights, and we're having game nights, and we're doing all these kinds of things just to try to entertain ourselves and have family time. And I'm sure you're the same way. But one of the things that we did about a week and a half ago on April the 1st to try to keep from going stir crazy was some April Fool's activities. Okay, we did some April Fool's pranks. So my wife got our kids together and she said, "Listen, I just got a voicemail that went out across the entire county. A voicemail from the superintendents of Knox County Schools, and he just told us that school is canceled for the rest of the year, and everybody's going to have to repeat the grade that they're in because they didn't get to finish the school year." And she said that with a straight face, and they're like, "Are you serious?" And she's like, "I'm serious. You're going to have to repeat the eighth grade. You're going to have to repeat the fifth grade. You're going to have to repeat kindergarten." So my middle daughter, Emma Grace, began to cry and to sob because she was going to have to repeat the fifth grade. And my older daughter, Maddie, I mean, she almost got choked up. She was upset too. And then my wife sprung it on them, "April Fools," right? And it's not true, and that's not been said. And so our kids, they tried to get us back for that. And so I was downstairs in my office working, and Maddie goes, "Dad, come up here real quick. I don't know what's going on, but the toilet is in our bathroom smoking. There's smoke coming out of it. It's smoking, and you need to come up here quick." And so I was like, "What in the world? A toilet shouldn't smoke." And so I went upstairs, and I ran in the bathroom, and they had set up two toilet rolls of toilet paper and a hat that looked like eyes and a cap. And they had like an empty toilet paper roll sticking out of the lid. It made it look like the toilet was a person who was smoking. You can see the picture there. And so Dad fell for the all-time dad joke, right? I mean, it was a great dad joke, and they got me, and then they got their mother, and they called out April Fools, and we had a lot of fun, you know, pranking each other and trying to figure out some fun ways to do April the 1st. And that's what we've tried to do during this challenging times, is figure out all these different activities that we can do to keep from going stir crazy. But, you know, the truth is that there are people who have gone through much more challenging times and much more difficult times. There's all these news stories and pictures that you see on social media where you see, like, young couples who have a baby and they want to introduce the baby to their grandparents, but the grandparent may be living in assisted living home or is in quarantine some way. And so they're outside on the lawn and the grandparents are at the window and they're not opening the window, but they're introducing the grandbaby through the window because the grandparents can't hold the baby and touch the baby and get to know the baby because they're social distancing. Or I don't know if you saw the story of the man. He and his wife were celebrating their 67th wedding anniversary, and she was in an assisted living home, and because of the quarantine, he could not get in to see her, and so he went and sat on a bench outside her window and put a sign up that said, "I've loved you for 67 years, and I still love you," and he couldn't be with his wife on their 67th wedding anniversary. Or even more horrifying than that are the stories of people who are dying with COVID-19 and they're having to say goodbye to their family through a telephone call because the family can't even be with them and comfort them during that time. This is a very challenging time where people are having to be socially distant from one another, and it's a challenge to be isolated from each other, and it's a challenge to be isolated from the people that we love, and it's a challenge not to be able to gather together and to worship God and to sing praises to him and to fellowship with one another. But imagine Imagine if that was your entire life. Like your entire life was you're cut off from friends, you're cut off from family, you're cut off from your spouse, you're cut off from worshiping God. That's the kind of life in the Bible that a leper had. A leper, which there's multiple places in the Bible where it's mentioned, but Leviticus 13 and 14 explains this skin disease and what would happen if you got a skin disease, and leprosy was one of those skin diseases, and explain kind of what life was like. So imagine that you live back in ancient Israel, and imagine that all of a sudden you saw a lesion or a spot form on your hand or on your head, and all of a sudden worry and anxiety of what is this and what's this gonna mean? And you have to go to the priest and present yourself, and the priest is gonna diagnose you and figure out, okay, is this leprosy? And so what you do is you go and quarantine for 2 weeks, basically. Quarantine, self-quarantine, just like we've been doing right now. You self-quarantine for 2 weeks, and then you come back to the priest, and if it has spread, if that spot that formed on you has spread, then the priest pronounces you unclean, and you have to indefinitely social distance yourself from God, from the community, from your family. You're separated from everything that you know. You have to live outside the camp. Okay, you have to keep your hair unkempt, your clothes torn. If anybody comes near you, you have to cover your face and scream out, unclean, unclean, so they don't come near you. So they wouldn't associate with you. It's a huge stigma. You could see it all over your body. You were isolated from and social distanced from everything that you knew, and you were out there alone and by yourself. I mean, you can imagine something of like right now when you go to Walmart, you go to Kroger, you go to one of these grocery stores and you're trying to pick out food. If you start to cough or you start to sneeze, I mean, people rush away from you. They don't even want to get near you because they don't want to get coronavirus, right? And that's something of what it was like to be a leper. You were shunned by society. Nobody wanted anything to do with you. And that disease, it would spread throughout your entire body. It would shut down your nervous system. Eventually, your limbs would fall off. And it was a devastating and incurable disease. And you would distance yourself. You would social distance yourself and quarantine yourself for the welfare of the community. Yes, you didn't want the infection to spread, and it was contagious and could spread. But most of all, it was ritually unclean. It was ceremonially unclean. This skin disease was a sign, a symbol of decay and death. And so because of that, because God lived in the midst of his people in the camp, and because God took up residence in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, the evidence and the symbol of decay and death could not come before God, could not live in the same place as God. And that's why you were cut off from worship, cut off from the community, cut off from your family, because death and decay can't come into the presence of the Holy One, of the perfect one, of the one who gives life. And so there was this ceremonially unclean, you're cut off from God and from the people that you love. And the only hope that you have is that God would heal you. And if God healed you, then you could go to the priest and he would see that you were healed and you would offer sacrifices and then you would be reinstated to God, to the community, to your family, be able to worship again, live at home again, work again, and spend time with your friends again. And so like we're going through social distancing right now, where we're cut off from work, cut off from friends, maybe cut off from some family, cut off from worshiping God together. That was the entire life for a leper, and no one could touch you because if they touched you, then they would become unclean. And so lepers would go years without being touched, away from everyone that they loved. Here's the good news of this story that we see in Matthew chapter 8. The good news is that you don't have to social distance from Jesus. You don't have to social distance from Jesus. Look what the Bible says here. We're going to read Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll skip down and read verses 14 and 17. This is what Matthew wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now look down at verse 14. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. In this story, the leper comes to Jesus, and Jesus touched him, and immediately he was made clean. I mean, imagine what it would have been like in that time where people stayed away from lepers. They never touched them. There's all these crowds around. They're probably backing up because they don't want the leper to get near them. The leper comes to Jesus, says, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. I mean, how long had it been since this man had been touched by any other human? And here's the deal. Jesus didn't have to touch him. Jesus could have spoken a word. We read that later, that he would cast out demons with a word. All he had to do was say it. But instead of saying it, Jesus touched him and showed compassion to him. See, Jesus is not just full of power, although he is. Jesus is full of compassion. And here's the deal. No matter what's happening during this time, if you know somebody who's sick, if you know somebody who's lost a job, if you have a wayward child, if there's some kind of difficulty in your marriage and you're wanting to rekindle that love, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter who's hurting in your life, that you're sad about that and you're grieving about that, Jesus loves them more than even you do. Jesus has more compassion for them than even you do. There's this great story in C.S. Lewis's book, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Magician's Nephew. The main character's name is Diggory. He's this boy, and his mom is sick and is dying, and it's breaking his heart. And so when he enters into Narnia, he wants to ask Aslan, the lion, who's the Christ figure, to do something to heal his mother. And when he asks him for it, he looks up into Aslan's eyes, and Aslan is crying. There's tears coming from his eyes. And this is what the magician's nephew says. It says, they were such big, bright tears compared with Diggory's own, that for a moment he felt as if the lion must really be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. Jesus loves the people that you love even more than you do. And he loves you more than anyone else. And we see this because Leviticus 13 and 14 is completely reversed by Jesus. It's completely reversed by Jesus. Jesus doesn't social distance himself from the leper. Jesus takes the initiative and touches the leper. God comes after those of us in our social distancing from him, and he pursues us in our brokenness, and Jesus touches the unclean. And here's what's amazing. Jesus touches the unclean man, and it doesn't make Jesus unclean. It makes the unclean clean. When Jesus touches you, he can make you clean. In every other instance of life, we know that pollution is always mightier than purity, right? Pollution is always mightier than purity. If you have a cup of water and you drop just a dot of dye into that water, it's gonna spread throughout the entire cup of water, and it's going to become unclear and murky. If you have nice white carpet and your dog comes in after a rainy day, he steps one paw on that white carpet, it's going to ruin that carpet, and there's going to be a stain on that carpet. If you have a white shirt and you fall in the grass, that grass, just one stain, is going to pollute that white shirt so that it's no longer pure and it's no longer pristine. But Jesus is the exact opposite. With Jesus, his purity purifies the pollution and it overcomes the pollution. And so Jesus is the great high priest. He comes after lepers, not to diagnose them, not to quarantine them, but to touch them and to heal them. And that's exactly what Jesus does for this guy. You don't have to social distance from Jesus because he's coming after you and because he wants to be near you and touch you. And then the same thing happens with Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus touches her even though she's got a fever. And again, in that day and age, in Jewish tradition, touching somebody with a fever made you unclean, but Jesus didn't care. Jesus touched her and her fever was gone, and then she got up and began to serve him. And that's exactly the pattern. Jesus changes your life and then you serve him for the rest of your life because you don't have to social distance from Jesus. And then Jesus tells the leper, he says, go to the priest and offer the sacrifice that you're supposed to offer. And the reason why Jesus told him to do that, because that's what Jesus was about to do with his death and resurrection. Jesus saying, look, I'm the sacrifice that's come into the world that's gonna make the unclean clean. And so go, because I've not died on the cross yet, and present that offering, present that sacrifice that points to what I am going to do. You don't have to social distance from Jesus. And then the text ends, the story ends there in verse 17. When he says, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. This is a quote from Isaiah 53, which was that great prophecy that happened hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified that prophesies the death of Jesus. It talks about him, the iniquity that was ours was laid on him. The chastisement for our sin was put on him and has brought us peace, that it pleased the Lord to crush him, that the punishment for sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross rather than us. So what does it mean there when he says he took our illnesses and he bore our diseases? How does Jesus healing leprosy and healing fevers connect with his death on the cross? Here's how. Sin brought a curse into the world, a curse of sickness and of pain and finally of death. And so all suffering in this life is a result of sin. It may not be a result of your actual individual sin. It may just be because you live in a sinful, fallen world, but all suffering is a result of sin. And so Jesus came not just to deal with sin, not just to forgive sin, although he did, but Jesus also came to deal with the curse and all the consequences that come as a result of sin. He wanted to deal with the root cause, sin. He wanted to deal with the symptoms, all the brokenness and pain and tears and death that result from sin. And how did he do it? He did it by what we celebrate on Easter, by taking the curse on himself. He came to identify with sin. He came to identify with the curse, with sin, with brokenness. That's why he reaches out and touches people. He identifies with sinners. He identifies with brokenness. He identifies with the curse so that by taking the curse on himself and dying in our place, he can overcome the curse and one day wipe every tear away from our eyes so that there's no more suffering. I mean, think about what happens in the death of Jesus. When Jesus dies on the cross and he's laid in that tomb on Saturday, the one who had healed the man with the skin decay, his skin begins to decay. And the man who opened the eyes of the blind, his eyes are shut. And the man who caused the deaf to hear, he cannot hear. And the man who caused the lame to walk, he's laid out paralyzed on that slab. And the man who raised the dead, he is dead and he's breathing no more. And then on Easter Sunday morning, he stands up, he walks out of the grave. Color comes back to his skin, his eyes open, his ears can hear, his mouth can speak, his legs can walk, and he has been raised to newness of life, never to be touched by the curse of sin and death again. And that's the life that he offers to every person who will come to him by faith, that one day there will be no more sin, no more tears, no more pain, and no more death. These miracles that he's performing by healing the sick point us to the cross and the resurrection, and they are a preview of his kingdom. In his kingdom, there's no skin disease. In his kingdom, there's no fevers. In his kingdom, there is no death. There is no pain. Leprosy became a metaphor for sin. It became a symbol for sin and for brokenness because it starts small and it spreads and it takes over your body and it separates you from God and it separates you from others. And Jesus paid the ultimate price by taking on our sin and by taking on our brokenness and by taking on our separation from God, by being separated from God for us so that we could be reinstated and restored to right relationship with God and so that one day all of our sin, all of our brokenness would be gone. So no matter how broken or unclean you think you are, no matter what kind of brokenness you're experiencing right now, whether it's because of choices you've made or because of things that have been done to you, you don't have to social distance from Jesus. You can come boldly to him. Are you feeling alone right now? Come to Jesus. Are you tired? Come to Jesus. Are you overcome with anxiety because of COVID-19 and all the stats that you see online or because you've lost your job and you don't know where your next paycheck's coming from? Come to Jesus. Are you scared because you've gotten some diagnosis that you're not certain about? Come to Jesus and give it to him. Are you worried because you feel dirty and unwanted and unloved and you don't think anybody would love you? Jesus loves you. Come to him. You don't have to social distance from Jesus. Do you need compassion? Do you need somebody to hug you and to embrace you and to accept you? Come to Jesus. Do you feel hurt and betrayed? Come to Jesus. Are you worried about your kids and not sure what's going to happen to them? Come to Jesus. You don't have to social distance from Jesus because he's going to make you new and he's going to change your life. I want you to imagine, just as we close, I want you to imagine what it was like in ancient Israel to be somebody who got leprosy. I read this from a scholar. Let me read this to you. Imagine what it must have felt like to watch that lesion growing on your skin. Just like today with cough, fever, to experience dread and helplessness as your symptoms persist. Feel the total despair as the priest diagnoses you and says, unclean. And now you have to say goodbye. You must assume for the last time ever to your family, to your friends, to those that you love. From now on, you must live outside the camp, cut off from all but other lepers, removed from all the normal aspects of your daily life, and becoming literally God-forsaken. From now on, you wake up every morning with no reason to get up. You've got nothing to do. You're unneeded and uncared for by anyone. And then, beyond your wildest dreams and hopes, healing comes. One day you wake up, your skin is brand new. Imagine the joy of returning to the camp, now being restored with all the rights and privileges of being a human being again. You have the high privilege now of worshiping the living God in his sanctuary again with your friends and with your family. You're renewed, you're restored. What a celebration those services of cleansing must have been. And just imagine what it's going to be like when we get on the other side of this pandemic and grandparents get to meet their grandbabies for the first time and couples who've been together for 60 years, they get to embrace again. Imagine what those kinds of reunions are going to be like when we get to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ in the company of one another and in the presence of God to worship him. That's what Jesus will do for you in eternity if you will come to him. And these sweet reunions that we experience on earth are just a foretaste, a glimpse of what that reunion is going to be like on that day when we're restored to God and loved ones who've gone on before us never to be apart again. And so you don't have to social distance from Jesus because guess what? He didn't social distance from you. He came in to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to challenge you this Easter weekend. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, then today's the day to do it. Today's the day to come to Jesus. No matter how sinful you feel, broken you feel, unwanted you feel, anxious you feel, stressed you feel, you need to come to Jesus and you just need to cry out to him, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know my life is broken. There's all kinds of pain that I've experienced. There's all kinds of tears in my life. But I know that you died on the cross for my sins to take on my brokenness. I know that you were raised from the dead to give me new and eternal life. And so, Lord Jesus, I want you to save my life and to make me brand new today. And if you'll pray that and you'll mean it with your heart, Jesus will save you and give you a brand new start right now. You can come to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today that you would reach out, that you would reach out to our phone number is right here, our email, fbcn@fbcn.org, that you would reach out and say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus and give us the privilege this Easter weekend of helping you come to a place where you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be changed forever. And for those of us who are believers already, this is the time to rekindle your relationship with Jesus, to draw near to him, to draw strength and to draw encouragement from his love and his affection for you. And so let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by coming to him and not social distancing from him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now for every single person who's watching this, that we would all draw near to Jesus and that we would find his loving touch and his affection. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, there's some different ways we wanna connect with you that we'd love to be able to answer whatever questions that you have. So we wanna encourage you to engage and to reach out so that we can walk through whatever questions you have, whatever spiritual questions you're wrestling with. We wanna help you walk through those spiritual questions and we wanna give you answers. And so I wanna challenge you to continue to engage as a church family by logging on to our different worship services on the weekend, by logging on during the week and participating in women's studies and men's studies and children's and youth and making sure that you stay connected with what is going on. I want to encourage you to continue to give as you have done. You have done such a great job. And I want to thank you so much for the ways that you've given. And one of the amazing things that's happened as your staff continues to worship, to minister and to meet needs. And our pastoral staff has made over 1,000 contacts of just call after call after call, reaching out. And what's been amazing is not only has our staff gotten to pray for you, but so many of you have prayed for our staff. And it's just been an incredibly encouraging time, although not ideal, although at a distance, an incredibly encouraging time as we love on you and as you love on us. We're just so thankful to be part of this church family. And I want to encourage you, next week we're going to start a brand new series in the book of Proverbs on marriage and family and God's wisdom for marriage and God's wisdom for family. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you're a part of that and invite others, invite neighbors and folks to log on and watch as well. This is a great opportunity for you to be an ambassador for Christ as we, just like Peter's mother-in-law in the story, Jesus has touched us, healed us, saved us, and now we have the privilege of getting up and serving him. And so thank you for the way you're doing that. Keep it up. Can't wait till we get to be together again. Have a great Easter weekend.